was not wanting to say the word snow this morning. It's one of those words I don't like, especially this early in the year. I mean, I know it is November now, but I don't want snow just yet. The leaves haven't even fallen. We can't have snow falling. The leaves aren't even, not all the leaves are hitting the ground, so we can't do that. But lots of things going on today that you should know about. And if you are a fan of football, the NFL trade deadline is happening today. Teams have until 4 p.m. Eastern time to make any final changes. Here's the thing, though, is that the NFL is not as crazy as when it comes to the Major League Baseball trade deadline. A lot of trades end up happening for that because when that happens, there's still a lot of baseball left to play. But you never really see a lot of that happening in the NFL. But there might be a few big ones that might happen. As far as the teams that we care about, like the Lions and the Bears.
Lions trade the whole team.
maybe the Lions will be trading so that they can get more good players to come on their team so they can get some wins. But it's a tough spot because it's week 7 or 8?
And there's
18 weeks now because they added an extra game. I'm not saying that the Lions still have a chance, but a lot of these teams still have a good chance to go into the playoffs. Lions, not so much. Bears, maybe not so much. They're kind of on the downward angle.
Well, the NFC North, it's going to be Green Bay.
I
listened and read some NFL so-called pundits and experts, say any road to the Super Bowl will probably have to go through Green Bay.
Yeah. That's what right now, as far as football teams, NFC seems to be, I'd say you pretty much got two teams. You've got Packers and Buccaneers. Buccaneers probably have a good chance of going back to the Super Bowl.
Well, the Rams might be.
Rams, too. I mean, with Matthew Stafford and actually with the Rams, that was one of the trades rumors that I saw yesterday that Von Miller, who is a really great linebacker for the Denver Broncos, there's talks that he might be going over to L.A., which, hey, if that happens, that'd be great.
Well, he needs to come to Chicago.
That's the thing. I'd love for all the players to come to Chicago, but we'll have to wait and see what ends up happening with that. I don't know if much movement is going to happen. I always look forward to, like, the trade deadline, and there's all these rumors. They're like, oh, my gosh, something's going to happen. And then when 4 o'clock on that trade deadline day happens, nothing really goes anywhere.
Yeah.
But we'll see. 4 o'clock today. Set your alarm clock to it.
Oh, boy.
It's also Cookie Monster Day today.
Mm.
It's Cookie Monster's birthday. Sesame Street character was created in 1969, actually got its start in a bunch of snack food commercials and an IBM training film before Jim Henson put him on the new kids show later on that year. Now, back then, Cookie Monster was actually green and not blue like he has been for many years. And I guess he had really terrifying teeth. My guess is because he ate too many cookies and he had to go to the dentist. So I'm glad he went to the dentist and he also got his hair dyed because the blue look is much better for him.
As opposed to me where my hair dyed.
Right. Yeah. Where did your hair go? I don't think I've ever seen hair on your head. Like, besides the sides.
No, it's been probably years. 25 years or so.
Another thing that's happening today, National Broadcast Traffic Professionals Day. That's really specific. But everybody that is in radio, the radio traffic department, does that mean like everybody from that reports on the traffic to the people that actually tell you about it on the other side of things and safety sides?
Well, it says we're talking about folks who program all the commercials and keep track of which ones.
Oh, those traffic people
downstairs here.
You know, every time I tell people about anybody that's ever worked here and done traffic, I was like, oh, they do traffic. They're like, oh, okay. So how are things on I-94 today? No, it's traffic for commercials. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. So, yeah, thank you to those people. It's also National Deviled Egg Day.
Mm.
They were invented in the late 1800s. became a go-to house party snack in the 60s and 70s.
Those are like snacks for me.
Oh, they're so good. Yeah, so good. I think I make pretty good deviled eggs.
We'll bring some in.
I will have to. It's kind of, they're not really easy transport.
No, they're not.
I mean, they sell those, and I think it's just ridiculous. Like, oh, here's a deviled egg tray. What are you going to use that for besides deviled eggs? I try not to use, have like an item that has only one single use.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just put it in a Tupperware or things like that. If it gets a little messy, what I've done before is just assemble it when I get there. When I get to the party,
well, that's like, an idea. Isn't
keep it in like a bag or something like that, like a twist bag, like you would do frosting. Do something like that, or put it in a bowl and then just kind of portion it all out.
What do you put in your deviled eggs?
I actually put a little bit of bacon in there.
Really?
Yeah, a little bit of bacon. That's bacon, and then just the typical vinegar and mustard and some other stuff and mayonnaise. Kind of mix that up into some and a little bit of spice as well. Some paprika, some Old Bay.
My mother, I have a vague memory of her putting a little slices of celery in it.
Celery?
Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah, I've done a little bit of pickle every once in a while.
Oh, like
a little sprinkle of relish, maybe.
There you go.
Or yeah. I will add that to the mixture.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got a little zing and a little zang.
Now, do you, in your opinion, is that deviled eggs, is that more of a party type of food or... When do you serve deviled eggs? I mean,
I do it around the holidays, usually holiday get-togethers. Like if it's like Thanksgiving or Christmas or any other big holiday get-together, usually in the fall, winter, maybe summertime, but you really can't have deviled eggs in the summertime unless you've got them in like in a cool spot in your kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
So I usually kind of leave it to the fall, winter.
So is that a pre-dinner?
I think at any time.
Okay.
Yeah, right. Pre-dinner, you're walking around, or you can add it to your plate.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, okay. if you can fit anything on the plate. I feel like the plates need to be bigger. Actually, what I think we need to bring back and or be more of a common thing is like the school TV or the school trays that have the little sections.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Those need to be, I know some families will do that during the holidays where they'll go and get that, but I think everybody's plate should have sections like that. Plus, it needs to be bigger.
You're right.
So I think we've tried to do that in our house. Yeah, sometimes people have actually brought the multi-section trays for the holidays, and I think it's a great idea because Jocelyn's one that doesn't like her food to touch.
Mm-hmm.
You can't intermingle the food.
Mm.
So she likes to keep that separate. So she has her own tray. She doesn't use it much. She just tries to separate everything.
Well, she probably has enough on her plate already.
She does, especially living with me. Also today, speaking back to radio, today was actually 101 years ago today, the first commercial radio broadcast.
Hmm.
This guy in Pittsburgh started radio as we know it. He had a station created KDKA. It's still on the air. The engineer Frank Conrad broadcast election results from a shack on the roof of an electronics factory.
How about that, huh?
Wow. That's pretty neat.
If the weather's right and you fool around with your AM radio, you can hear that.
Really?
Once in a while, yeah.
Okay.
Depends on the atmosphere.
That's pretty neat.
It is, yeah.
But speaking of elections, some elections happening today.
Yes.
Today is election day for, I know St. Joe and Benton Harbor have elections. And we did some good coverage on the St. Joe City Commission or City Council. There was candidate forums we did earlier this year. If you can go check those out, you want to see the video or listen to it, you can check it out at WSJM.com. Starting the day, you want to fill your brain with some useless knowledge? Well, I've got some good stuff for you this morning. Did you know that America, we love to just have stuff? We store a lot of things. Actually, America has 53,000 storage facilities. That's more than all the Starbucks, McDonald's, and Subways combined. The rest of the world only has 10,000 self-storage facilities. America has 7 square feet of self-storage for every man, woman, and child living in the United States.
Yet they don't let you store yourself in those.
Right.
Storage.
Exactly. Why can't I just rent a self-storage unit and just live there?
Cheaper than a mausoleum.
Right. Just leave me there. I'm gonna live there, and then when I die, just leave me there.
Yeah.
Just put me in the coffin, put me in there. Save you a lot of money, and you know your family can come visit you anytime as long as they got a key.
Yeah, that's right.
It's not a bad idea, actually. I don't think the folks at Ventress moving in self-storage would agree to that. They'd say, I don't think we'll sign that contract.
No.
That's not happening. If you're going to get coffee this morning and you're going to a coffee shop and you see the people making the coffee, what are those called? Baristas.
Yes.
But did you know that actually the plural is not baristas? It's actually baristi. I'm not kidding. This is the thing.
That sounds baristi. Like it would be singular, though, doesn't it?
Yeah. Like, I always thought it was baristas. Would just add an S to all of it.
Oh.
But it's baristi.
Huh.
So now
what
you know.
What language is it?
That would be...
Is that Italian?
I believe Italian.
Okay.
Yeah. Because there you have an espresso. Yeah, that's interesting. So I guess when you go to the coffee shop, you say, hello, all you baristas. And they're going to say,
What?
Here's your latte. Just get out of here, crazy person. Jimi Hendrix and Joe Pesci, did you know they were in the same band in the 1960s?
No, that's interesting.
Yeah, they weren't in the band at the same time, though.
Oh, okay.
So early in both of their careers, they briefly played guitar for a band called Joey D and the Starlighters.
Hmm.
Didn't know that. Also, it's probably more common knowledge. Joe Pesci is one of the reasons that Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons exist.
No idea.
Yeah. If you see the musical Jersey Boys, or if you check out the movie or just know the story, they were friends, all the whole group. And, I think Joe Pesci was the reason. I think he was friends with Frankie Valli or one of the other guys in the band, mm-hmm. and said, like, oh, well, you guys should meet. And they formed the meetup. And because Frankie Valli was a young kid, he was younger than the older guys in the band. And it was one of those that they met. He sang for him. And the rest, as they say, was history, and they became huge stars.
You don't hear much about Joe Pesci anymore.
Not lately. He hasn't. I mean, trying to think. He did a lot of the Goodfellas, the mobster movies.
Oh,
he did the last one I can think of is, what is it, The Irishman?
Yes.
I have not seen that movie, but
a long movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Well,
Martin Scorsese, it's like, how long can I have people sit in the theater? And it's like, he's running on, what was that? That movie was, what, about 4 hours or longer?
I don't remember.
I know it was long. And a lot of his movies have been the 3 hours plus.
They need to have intermissions. Like,
absolutely. Somebody was talking about that when we, you know, more of us continue to go back to the movie theaters, that they should have intermissions.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know, like, I was watching Titanic the other day, and I know that... Me being somebody that watched it on VHS originally, it's like, oh, well, Jocelyn, both of us said, and insert tape two, end of tape one, insert tape two, right at that. There's a certain scene where, like, and that's where the tape ends and you got to switch over. But yeah, I think intermissions would be great.
I remember them quite well.
Because then you can have the, let's go out to the lobby.
Yeah, I remember that jingle.
Yeah.
You see the dancing sodas and everything else on the screen.
Needs to make a comeback. They still have it at drive-in movies, but that's usually when they're switching from movie one to movie two.
Well, I haven't been to the drive-in since we had them in right around here.
Yeah, we still do. I think they're still running. They're for sale,
no,
even,
I'm talking,
I think.
About the Starlight.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
St. Joe Auto Theater down there at Glenlord. And,
right.
You know. But there's one just, was it east to Water Elite, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep, there's the one in between Dewajak Decatur.
Mm-hmm.
And then
that's
there's
at
the one.
M51. Is
yep,
that
right at M51.
Yeah.
And then there's the one that's in Hartford, or between Hartford and Water Elite, right there,
yeah,
near the casino.
Sunset?
Yep, okay. I believe Sunset Drive-In. You're right. bringing them back. We should bring back the intermissions and have more drive-ins. Actually, when I lived out east, I was like, oh, where's the nearest drive-in movie place? And they're like, three states away because we don't have those here. They didn't have drive-in movies. Here's another useless knowledge for you. You know it's possible to be denighted in England?
No.
So if you've committed a crime or are sentenced to at least 3 months in prison, the king or the queen can denight you. Five people have been denighted in the past century.
Oh, my.
Back to the U.S., you know, only 15 of the 49 U.S. vice presidents have gone on to be president, including Joe Biden, and only six of those 15 were elected to a second term. We know a lot of presidents. I mean, Gerald Ford, for instance, not elected.
He's never elected president.
He was never elected president. He became president after Nixon.
He was a good guy.
Yeah. Earlier, we were talking about how the sun's not going to come up till like 8:19 or something like that. And it just, it makes it tough for you to get up every day and get things going. And this will hopefully get you going as well. A new survey found the average person is going to need actually three quote-unquote boosts to get them through an average day, and you'll need your first quick pick-me-up by 9:12 a.m. They said we really start dragging after lunch, the poll found. We're most desperate for a boost at about 1 o'clock in the afternoon, 1:18. Now, this is for the typical, 9 to 5, 8 to 4 type people. For us, That's pretty much the end of the workday. That's the nap time for me, at least.
Mm-hmm.
But some of the things that will help you get a boost, getting some good news.
Oh.
We always like a little good news every once in a while. But like we mentioned, 8:19 or 8:20 is when the sun's supposed to come out.
Yeah.
Catching some sun, another thing that'll help give you a quick boost. I always like to do this when I get home, go for a walk. Walk the dog, go for a walk,
that's
give myself
a
little boost of energy. Another thing is coffee.
Yeah.
I do a little boost of coffee. I always say this. I don't need coffee to wake up. I always seem to have a lot of energy when I wake up, whatever time it may be.
Mm.
I'm up like 3-4 o'clock and it's like, oh, ready to start the day. And people hate me for that.
I can't imagine. Yeah.
What is wrong with you? Why are you like this? But it's almost like, I don't know. I get really energetic in the morning and get everything started, but then I crash about halfway through the day and I'm like tired.
Yeah, I can understand that.
So I need that little boost. Some other things that'll help you get a little boost, receiving a compliment.
Mm.
That's always nice. And some other things on this survey that can give you a boost. Fixing a problem, just knocking something out and being productive can give you a boost as well. So hopefully we're giving you a boost.
Yes, and I always rely on that 9-volt battery.
The 9-volt battery? That's still working for you?
Oh, yeah, okay. Every morning. It's right on my nightstand. In case I'm having trouble getting out of bed, lick that 9-volt battery and it's, okay, let's get up now.
I've not licked a 9-volt battery since I was a kid.
I am kidding, by the way. I don't really do that.
See, I thought you'd probably graduate to like the bigger battery. Not like car battery, but those bigger ones that are like the size of like a can.
Oh,
those big batteries.
You're talking about the old lantern type battery?
Yeah, like the big lantern batteries are the ones that, kids will use if they need to fire a rocket
or something
in science class.
Mm.
Something like that.
Oh, 9-volt, you can just put in your pocket.
There you go. Easy, mobile, ready to go at any time you need a quick boost. Or if you need to see if your radio or walkie-talkie still works. When is it acceptable for Christmas music to be played? Well, I know a lot of radio stations seem to be playing them earlier and earlier, even sometimes right after Halloween. I think our sister station, Sunny 101.5, doesn't play it until November 15th. So shortly before Thanksgiving, they're playing that Christmas music. But there is a bar that actually wants to make the decision of when to play Christmas music by instituting rules about how much a certain song, one of the biggest songs of Christmas for like the past 20 years, Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas, they've actually got some rules, and I kind of am on board with them on this. They said that that song can be played during the holiday season, but they posted a sign on their jukebox that reads, Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas Is You will be skipped if played before December 1st. After December 1st, the song is only allowed one time a night. Mariah heard about this and, of course, was upset and she said, is this the war on Christmas that I've heard about? So she was upset. But I think December 1st is a good starting point of Christmas music. Maybe the day after when you do your Black Friday shopping, or maybe around like Thanksgiving, after you've had your Thanksgiving dinner, maybe just maybe put some of the classic crooners on with some of their Christmas music. But anything before that, I'll allow it in my house, but I won't be a fan.
You play Thanksgiving music, don't you?
Oh, absolutely.
It's that one, Turkey in the Straw.
Pass the Stuffing, the classic love song, Pass the Stuffing.
There isn't Thanksgiving music. Why is that?
I don't know. Around the corn casserole. That's also a classic. We could make up so many Thanksgiving songs, honestly. Just give me like 5 minutes. But I don't know why there aren't many Thanksgiving songs. There's pretty much everybody's all about Christmas. And then you get, you know, as far as holidays go, you get some Halloween songs, you get some Valentine's love songs throughout the year. But yeah, I think somebody needs to make it popular, Thanksgiving songs.
I know some people, including myself, that enjoy Thanksgiving more than Christmas because there are no expectations at Thanksgiving.
No, there's just food.
And family.
Food, family, and some more food. And desserts, and football too.
Oh yeah,
you can't go wrong with having the football.
Yes, to the disdain of most of the female family members.
Right. Yeah. Well, usually, and that I think their most of their disdain is the fact that there's football on the TV, but everybody's sleeping.
Yeah.
Because that's when everybody has all their turkey and eats all the food.
What's the name of that ingredient in turkey that makes you sleepy?
Tryptophan, but that's actually a myth because they don't often put a lot of tryptophan. And the tryptophan that they do put in the turkey is then cooked out, and it doesn't then transfer over to anybody consuming it.
Why do people fall asleep then?
Because they're, I don't know, because they're full. They fill themselves. They overindulge themselves, and they end up getting tired because their body, you got to think, your body's got to digest all that stuff. And if that engine is working harder than it needs to, then it gets tired.
Okay. All right.
That's my theory.
All right.
But yeah, the tryptophan thing, I thought that's what it always was, or I always blamed it on the tryptophan, but it's not. I guess that's a myth from what I've heard. But yeah, there's some other Thanksgiving things we'll have to chat about later on this week. I'm not ready to talk about Thanksgiving just yet.
Okay.
There are some other things that I want to tell you about. I have saw this yesterday. Speaking of eating, Bird's Eye, the company that makes a lot of great things, frozen things, all kinds of different items, they're hiring a chief dipping officer.
Mm-hmm.
So this job says they're on the hunt for the chief dipping officer, the CDO, which is a great abbreviation. You can say, hey, I'm a CDO. Put it on your business card. It says, do you know the difference between dippers and nuggets? No, I don't, actually. I don't know what that means.
No.
If you're a sauce connoisseur of the family, I do love sauces and condiments.
Mm.
We love that. You know, the ketchup, the honey mustard, the barbecue sauce, the ranch, all that has to be on the table. It says, do you have an insatiable passion for chicken dippers?
No.
I do like dipping chicken nuggets in different sauces. This position of a chief dipping officer requires an individual with an outstanding passion for dipping chicken dippers in things and skills to identify the perfect dip that will suit the whole family. And you'll be expected to treasure texture and fanatical, be fanatical about flavor, assisting the Chicken Witch of the West in bringing magic to mealtimes. This is a direct quote from them. The right candidate will be committed to doing an impeccable job. See the pun with the chicken? Anyways, the job posting's not that great, but it sounds pretty intriguing because you get paid $1,500 just to dip things in sauces and tell people what you think is good.
Where do you think Bird's Eye Village is?
Bird's Eye Village?
Yeah.
Mm,
they talk about Bird's Eye Village every once in a while.
I'm not sure.
Okay. I thought near Pepperidge Farm.
Yeah, Pepperidge. Is Bird's Eye Village, is that their company has a village?
I don't know. They talk about Bird's Eye Village once in a while.
We'll have to look that up and see.
I know
if
there
they
is a Pepperidge Farm somewhere. I have to look that
is
up.
Is there actually a Pepperidge Farm?
Yeah.
Huh.
I don't know where the Valley of the Jolly Green Giant is, though.
I'm still trying to find the Hidden Valley.
Hidden Valley, yeah. Where is it? Well, we can't find it.
It's hidden.